Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with humble hearts this morning, ready to receive your engrafted word with meekness, dear Lord God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that everyone here this morning has ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, that your word is being sown on good ground, Father God. I'm believing for a 30, 60, and a 100-fold return. I thank you for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary, that my teaching today is not with the Father God, not with man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and a manifestation of spirit and of power. Father, I promise to give you alone all the praise, to give you alone all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
So repeat after me. These are four core values. You know this. I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
And I will serve.
So our message title today is Fresh and Flourishing. Fresh and flourishing. Psalms 92, verses 13 and 14 says this. Verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and I want to be fresh and flourishing in my old age. Now, I need you to look at verse 13 again. Those who are planted. Not swing by, stop by and holler, say, hey, what's happening? How's it been? See you in a little bit. The average Christian goes to church 1.3 times a month. Those that are planted. Maybe that 1.3 times is why this country is in such shape. We're complaining about it, and everybody's in an uproar, but we are not planted. And if you're not planted here, where are you planted? Because where you're planted is where you're getting your resources, where you're getting your nutrients, where you're growing. What is coming up into you is based on where you put your roots down. And if you don't like the fruit of your life, look at the root of your life. I need you to see this. You need to be planted. Pastor, I work, I commute. You need to be planted. Pastor, you know, they got Little League on Sunday mornings. You need to be planted. You got to make a decision on what your priority is going to be. Now, when you look up in Hebrew, that word planted, it literally means also to transplant. So you're going to come from something over into the house of the Lord. Now, the challenge with a lot of us, we kind of straddle the fence. When the great Elijah, the prophet, he was doing battle with the children of Israel that began to worship Baal. False God. And all of them are going over to the Baal camp. And Elijah asked, he said this, how long will you be of two opinions? In the book of James, we talk about being double-minded. You have to become single-minded. Now you say, well, Pastor, that's hard. No, it's not, because you expect, if you're in a relationship, you expect someone to be single-minded. Let your husband come home and say, you know, that little cute girl at the office. Still putting your earrings off. Give me my Vaseline. What her name is. Those who are planted. And see, I'm going to tell you something. You can visit something and not be planted. And planted in the house of the Lord. And you're going to flourish in the courts of our God. But I need you to look at verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. But here's the thing. Still. That means you're going to bear fruit in your younger age. I was still in my old age. I plan to bear fruit. And again, the fruit I bear is based on the quality of the soil I'm planted in. I know we're different in New Day. If I did everything else everybody else is doing, I would have what they have. And 1.3 Christians in my church, I can't do that. I'd rather have a small army that takes over the world. Dr. Bailey, I oversee churches bigger than this one. And some people are like, how are you going to, you know what? I'm not limited by what I've seen.
Yeah.
My only limitation is what I believe. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. It says, they should still bear fruit in old age. They should be fresh and flourishing. Fresh means this vigorous. And the root word of vigorous is vigor, life. 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 I'm alive. I'm happening. I'm breathing. I'm on top. I'm blessed and holy. I'm whoa. Yes. I got hope. Stalwart. That means you're unwavering. I'm rooted. Flourishing. To be or grow luxuriant. You know, you reach luxury. That's a different level of comfort. That's a different level of comfort. And for you to become luxuriant in your life, and it's not about getting some real nice, I don't know, 1,000 thread sheets and you got a certain, I don't know how you measure towels and the softness of the towels and all that. And that stuff is nice. I've stayed in some hotels and there's some nice towels. You'd be tempted. Devil, get behind me. I ain't taking nothing from this hotel by my own. Here's the thing about luxuriant. And so that comes in different degrees. And in order for you to have a really luxuriant life, it's not just experiencing a nice hotel suite. It's really you stepping into the purpose which God created you. Because that's where you're going to find the most comfort. That's where your sweet spot is. That's when you're going to do whatever it is you're created to do. And you can do it all day long and not get tired. That's when you're just always fresh and flourishing. But you won't know what that is because you're not planted and you're not getting your root and nourishment from the soil. Pastor Malcolm, you know, I woke up with you on my mind this morning, you and your wife. You got a pastor that God speaks to and he prays for. But see, I see a lot of people, you want to go where it's happening. And see, what you equate as happening is because you still got, and I love you, but sometimes you still got that club mentality. Oh, it's a new club. Y'all been down there yet, girl? Because it's happening. And so you bring that same mentality over in church. So just because you see a crowd doesn't mean the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I need you to see this. And I'm not criticizing. I want you to grow and become. Jesus gave a parable. He said there were four different types of ground, four different types of people that heard the word of God. But only one of those four that heard bore fruit. Please hear my heart on this. Amen. This is how I want you to be. Can I have a picture, please? This is how I want you. Now, see, you got to make a decision. The quality of my old age is going to be based on the decisions I make today. And so in my old age, I want to be fresh and flourishing. I want to be that kind of tree. I don't want to be old and barren. I don't. And I recognize, you know, and I get out there and I play football with the young people here and we play baseball and all that. And I can't run as fast as I used to run. I can't jump as I used to jump. But it doesn't mean my mind still can't be fresh and flourishing. You understand? And as I mentioned last week, you know, I don't see retirement in the Bible. I ask how many of you guys are looking forward to retirement. Almost everybody's hands went up. And that's fine. You want to cease from your job, but you can never cease from your work. Because, see, in my old age, I'm going to still be doing my work. I know I will not be the pastor of New Day Christian Fellowship, but I'm going to be influencing somebody somewhere towards the kingdom of God. I'll never cease that until the day I take my last breath. So in order to do that, I need to be planted. And I need to be planted somewhere that with some good soil. It matters. Some of you guys are planting, and here's the thing. I can take some seed right now, some apple seed, some fresh, some quality apple seed, going down to Newport Beach. And that's some of the high-end real estate here in Southern California. Hallelujah, it's nice. Okay, and I can take that seed, go down that nice beach and plant it, and ain't jack happening. I need to come on back here to Riverside where it's hot, muggy, uncomfortable. But you plant that seed here, what are you going to get? Because, see, sometimes we just get it twisted. We need to be planted in the things of God. And, see, the opposite of fresh and flourishing is old and stale. I'm not going out like that. And most of us never reach that life of fresh and flourishing because of the lies of the enemy and his deception of what is truly the priority of life. Turn your hand out over, please, and repeat after me. Say, I am not what happened to me. Say it again like you really believe that.
I am not what happens to me.
Because see, here's the thing. If you play on a team and you win a championship, you feel like a champion. But if you lose the championship, you feel like a loser. Your parents did some things they should not have done. God bless them. God bless them. And quite possibly, if you had been touched by whoever touched your mama, And if you have been beaten by whoever beat your daddy, and if you grew up in a segregated South like your parents did, quite possibly you would behave the same way they behave. But at some point, you got to distance yourself from what was that. That, I am not that. Pastor Keith Kraft, he really blessed me at our meeting last Tuesday. I love those kind of meetings where the pastor just sit around naked and not ashamed. Church size don't matter. Let me just tell you what really went down. And this is something he shared. So his father, okay, took him one day as a little boy to see his grandfather. And he gets there. There's only one time in his whole life he ever saw his grandfather. And they were in this area that was just this, it was run down, it was in the South, it was just kind of beat up. And when his daddy was approaching, the grandfather stood up and just said some ugly things. The father stood there and just said, you know, hey, here's some, and gave him something. And now Pastor Keith realized it was some money. And then the father left. And that was the only time Pastor Keith ever said he ever saw his father. But he learned something from his father. This is what his father said. His father saw peace and prosperity. His father saw plenty. His father saw a different life, if you would. And he said, as he was looking at that different life, he said, I didn't come from that, so I got to create that. So I'm going to leave that so I can have that. Because, see, you can't be in two camps. Now, you honor your mother and father. It's probably went to bless his dad or whatever. My father went, the last time I saw my father alive, I gave him $400. My daddy died owing me money. He said, Pastor Tony, after all you shared about your parents and all that, you know, no, I learned to honor. That's him. I'm separate. I am not what happened to me as a child. I'm not limited. My daddy grew up telling me, you got to learn how to drive a wreck. And a wreck, old school, is like some car that's broken down. No, I don't. I don't have to learn how to do that. Now, my first car, it was older, but I got a job. I learned how to buy. You don't have to be tied to that. So if I can get out of being planted in tradition, get out. God told Abraham, get away from your country, get away from your kinfolk, get away from your father's house, and I got something I want to do with you. And often we are so tethered and rooted in our childhood experiences and all of that. Stuff would limit us. I moved to California in the third grade, started school in the fourth grade. And I didn't speak to a white person until I think I was 8 years old. And in the fifth grade, this is so God. This is so God. So the teacher, Mr. Kwame, said, we got to do a country report. I chose Brazil. I've been there six times. Okay, this is funny. I'm telling you, that's a whole nother, let's say that for missions month. Okay, so God, so I got to do a report on Brazil. So I'm excited. I got some notes, got it all written out and all that real good. And then Mr. Kwame comes the next week and says, okay, now we're going to assign partners. He said, David King, go join Tony. David comes walking to me. David's white. Now, I'm in full-blown resistance. Now, I don't know it at the time. I'm just, as a kid, I'm scared. And anytime you're scared, it's usually because you feel you're going to lose something. You're afraid of loss, okay? David comes to me, and he says, do you have any notes? And I'm like, yeah. And he looked at him, and he says, I can take this home. My mom can type them up. And I said, he's going to take my notes and never bring them back. Fifth grade. Carson, California. Now, because over here, I was taught that the white man take our stuff. And I come over here, and then so that's my first thought. And all it was a country report. David King bought my notes back the next day. Notes was all typed and pretty. We made a bulletin board. We got an A. Bless God. I am not what happened to me. I'm not. And if I want to grow, I need to be planted somewhere so I can really receive what God has for me, not my life experiences. I've learned my self-perspective is no longer rooted in my past. It's rooted in my purpose. And I'm going to die empty. I'm not taking all I have to the cemetery. It's not coming with, it's not. Every gift, every idea, every thought, every sermon, I'm playing all out. Can't stand that soil of victimhood, that soil of mediocrity, that soil of scarcity, that soil of lack, that soil of racism, that soil of fear, that soil of inadequacy, that soil of rejection. Just because that girl rejected me in front of all my friends and everybody laughed. Funny thing is, I'm married now and she ain't.
Okay. Go to your high school reunion. Just go. You're going to realize how God protected you. You're going to realize never would have made it. You're going to realize. Like, thank you, Jesus. You're going to realize. I'm telling you. I remember Valerie Edwards. I don't care. I'm going to tell everybody to be. Come up to me. Look, she looked at Jackie. How you get her? Wait a minute. I'm like, where's your date? I mean, no, go to your reunion. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Hey, amen. What is it? Kumo D, the rapper? How you like me now? Amen. Amen. Go to Psalms 84. Amen. Psalms 84. You are not what happened to you. You are not. You are a child of the Most High God. And here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you what you believe by how you behave. And a lot of our behavior is really based on our beliefs, and our beliefs are usually fear-based. You want them outgoing people and just life of the party, and then you get rejected, you become more of a life of the party. You're going to make somebody like you. If I got to give up all I got to give up, you know what I'm saying? You're going to make some. Oh, they going to. If you want them introverted people, and something happened to you, guess what? You become more of an introvert. You shrink back. Elder Joyce gave me the highest compliment I got over this year. She said, it's amazing for you to be so introverted how well connected you are. Because I can't be that. Now, I know how to get back, get alone, recharge, and get refreshed, but I can learn how to get back in the game. Because I can get back in the game because I'm not afraid anymore. Psalms 84, verse 1. And it's just, and I need you to see this. Okay, this is actually a song. But just look at the lyrics. Watch this. Number one, how lovely is your dwelling place? How lovely is your, look at that attitude. It's the house of God. It's not a Sunday morning thing. Oh, let me go get my praise on. I got my Jesus and then I'm good. And I can get through the week. No. You know, you got to come pray. I'm going to tell you something. Here's the deal. And a lot of times it's not the church. It's the attitude of the member. Because, see, I remember being a member of Dr. Frederick Casey Price's church. And I remember hearing the message on, if you tithe, you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive it. And all of a sudden, I'm tithing and I go out of business. I file bankruptcy. Doc Bailey, I had two foreclosures, and one we got ejected out of a house we were renting before I was 30 years old. I could get the house, I just couldn't keep them. And so I'm hearing this, but I'm not experiencing this. So let me ask you something. Why do you think I was really going to that church? Well, really in my heart, because if I give, I get. Because you give, and in a while, we're going to sing the song. You know, we sing the song, we take the offering. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. In about 15 minutes, we're going to be singing it. And that's scripture. But see, my mind was wrong. It was. And then I got a little attitude, it's not happening. I never stopped believing in God. But then I got to Zoe, and I learned I have a purpose. And all of a sudden, my purpose was not just to buy a house and have a nice car. Because, see, at the root of it, see, what had happened to me growing up in Compton like I did, I made a decision I was never going to live like that. And that's not a bad decision. But the thing is that it wasn't like I was running towards the future. I was running from Compton. There's a difference. I wasn't running to God. I'm running from that. And it takes a lot of self-awareness to get to that recognition of what your true motives are. God don't look at the outside, he looks on the heart. And my heart wasn't right. And I had the suit on, I was looking good, I knew how to say amen and lift my hands, and that praise team over there, Crenshaw was one that was like, holy, they had that opera voices. They didn't, you know, hey, we didn't do that, okay? And so I think I heard they do it now. Okay, but anyway, it's all good. But he ain't the pastor no more either, his son is, so hallelujah. But my point is this, is that I was still so focused on this. And I'm determined for my kids not to have it. It really still wasn't about God. So I wasn't dwelling. I wasn't planted in the house of the Lord. So I'm going to God for what I can get. my series just a little while ago, What's In It For Me? That was my mindset. I get to Zoe, I have a purpose. And all of a sudden, everything shifts. Zoe's church, it's not that big. It's not like large, like Christian, but I found my purpose. And as I began to avail myself, and I had people tease me saying, oh, he's Pastor Red's flunky. Look at me running around like that. You know what? Okay, I'm going to leave that one alone too. Some of the same people, whatever. Verse 2. Look at verse 2. And that's why you got to stop letting people bother you. I don't care what they say. Really don't. Now move by your that's your opinion. And all it is an opinion. It's a thought. It's something intangible. You can't even touch it. Why do I let what's going into your mind, it's intangible, can't even touch it. Why am I letting that bother me? Number 2, verse 2. I long, yes. And look at his attitude. Look at his mindset. I long, yes. I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. Do you look forward to Sunday? Or do you wake up like, oh, Lord, I got to do it again. Oh, I got to serve today. I sure hope sister such and such ain't so greeting, and she ain't a greeter with me either. I'm tired of her. She got I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout. No, I'm going to sit real quiet because I'm sophisticated. I'm going to sit. I don't need to do all that. You don't take all that. Okay. All right. You don't. Okay. Here, it says, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Verse 3. Even a sparrow finds a home. The birds understand it, but we ain't getting it. The birds got it figured out, and I don't get it. And we call people bird brain. There's bird brain people. They I need you to see this. Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. Oh, Lord of heaven's armies, my king and my God. Now, here's the thing. Jackie and I, in the house we're in now, it was about 2 summers ago, we had a bird above our front door. You know, it got the tall ceiling and the glass, and he would come and just perch there at night. And Jack's like, a bird is here, bird, and leave him alone, baby. I thought about this passage. He finds comfort, shelter. And that was just symbolic for like about 2 months we would come home and I would see that bird and I would be reminded of this. Verse 4, what joy for those who can visit in your house. What joy for those who can stop by every now and then. What joy for those who can just swing by and holler and say, what's up, how y'all doing? No, what joy for those who can live. Jesus said, if you are abide in me, and my words abide in you. See, abiding me, and this is my residence. And you know, when you come to my house, you know it's my house. Look at the pictures on the wall. Look around. You're like, this is Tony's house. Tony lives here. You come to a hotel, where, like we just stand in a hotel in Houston, you can open that room. You don't know whose room this is. Because we don't abide there. We're visiting. We don't put nothing on the wall. We don't invest anything in it because we're there temporarily. If you're going to be in the house of God, invest in the house of God. Show some sign that this is my house. This is where I live. This is. What joy for those who can live in your house always singing your praises. Get a song in your mouth. Get a song in your heart. Verse 5. What joyful, and it just to show you this song, look at verse 4 again. At the end, it's an interlude. That's when, you know, it's sometimes you like it, when I just let the guitar people play, I say, just play. Play your joint. Come on, just play. When I, you say, what's Pastor doing? Because it's scripture. Verse 5, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. Where are you getting your strength from? I told you got to take the nutrients. You got to be planted. Where are you getting your strength from? Some past achievement, some past accomplishment? You got to be planted. In the house of the Lord. See, you get your strength from what you believe to be true. That's why, and then you keep doing something that's not working. The Bible talks about, Peter talks about a dog returning to his vomit. Yeah. Why do you keep doing stuff that has it? It's not working. Do something else. Well, joy for those. Joy. And I love joy versus happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is temporary. Happiness is based on external circumstances. Joy comes from within the end. See, that's why Paul, when we talked last week about in the church of in Philippians 4, he said, I've learned to be content no matter what's going on outside. I'm so rock solid on the inside. Not losing my mind over something. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds. You got to set your mind. I got to make a decision. I'm set. This is the path I'm going on. This is how it is. I got to get a vision for my life. God, why did you create me? What is it I'm supposed to be doing? What do you have for me? Set your mind. set those who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Do you think about Jerusalem? That's symbolic of God. We're taking a trip to Israel next year, April 1st, by the way. You guys have been asking, April 1st to the 10th. Verse 6, when they walk through the valley of weeping, now I need you to hear this. I need you to hear this. When they walk through the valley of weeping, sometimes we walk through and we stop there, we stay there. But let me tell you about something. When you planted in the house of the Lord and you're going through a valley of weeping, okay, in this valley of weeping, guess what? Watch this. It will become a place of refreshing springs. I need you to see this. What's going on inside of me is so rock solid. When I show up, atmospheres shift. I have the creator of the universe dwelling inside of me. Next time you look at one of them pictures on Discovery Channel or National Geographic and you see all the universe, all that is in me. I can't even get my mind around it, so by faith, I just trust it to be true. So therefore, I behave based on how I believe. Stuff's going to shift when I show up. It's going to shift. So it might be some weeping going on, but in a little while, oh, some good stuff about to jump off. The autumn rains were clothed with blessings. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. I'm the solution to somebody's problem. I'm the answer to somebody's prayer. And I'm going to show up and shift something around here. Things are going to change. When you leave me, you're going to feel better than you did when you came to me. Why do you think I open up the messages with that prayer? Lord, give me a word in season to then I'm weary. So wherever you are in weariness, I want you to walk away better than you came. Seven, they will continue to grow stronger. You know, the scripture says they will grow from strength to strength. You're going to be ever increasing in your strength. They will continue to grow stronger. And when I get old age, I'm going to be better than I am today at age 56. Hallelujah. 66 is going to blow away 56. And by the time I'm at 76, it's going to just like annihilate everything before. Because I'm just going to get stronger and stronger because I'm going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. My idea is just to increase. Scripture says that, Psalms 115, God increased me and my plenty increase. They will grow stronger. They will continue to grow stronger. And each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. We're family right now at this church. It's a family size. Everybody know each other. Y'all hug. Welcome to a new day. That's cool. But in a little while, we got to become a team. We're kind of like a basketball team right now. When I say basketball, you got five players. And what happens is this, is that you shoot the basket and you miss. You miss. And then you got to run back. And you're on offense when you're shooting. You got to run back and get on defense. Okay, stop the ball. Get the ball back and run back down here. Okay. That's kind of how we're playing now. Okay, cool. But now we got to become a football team. We got an offense and a defense. And sometimes y'all might not all know each other or see each other. Because the thing is that we like to know everybody. I want to feel special. I want to feel connected. But you're going to get to the point where you're not going to know everyone. And you got to be okay with that. Because if you're stuck on that, you're making it all about you. So we can't have any more Sundays where there's not one single visitor. You need to tell somebody. The new Denzel movie come out, y'all put it on Facebook and all that. I ain't mad at Denzel. Hallelujah. Good for him. LeBron signing with the Lakers. It's all over Facebook. Verse 8, O Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. Another interlude. 9, O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield is Jesus. This is a prophetic scripture, okay? Show favor to the one you have anointed. 10, I need 10. A single day in your courts is better than Las Vegas. A single day in your courts is better than hanging out with my friends at the club. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. Look at that attitude, that mindset. We're so afraid we're going to miss out on something. You need to pray that you miss out on something. Please let that pass me by. We used to play dominoes. You guys, fellas, remember this? We used to say all money ain't good money. Okay, only got 3 domino players. Okay. Verse 11, for the Lord our God
as our sun and shield, he gives us grace and glory. I need grace and I need glory. See, my glory comes from the Lord. And grace is my ability to get things done. God gets things done through me. There are things I cannot do without him, literally. I'm not being humble. That's just fact. So I need his grace upon me. His grace is his enabling power working through me. There are some things he graced me to do. I need to learn what those things are. And that's when I move into my sweet spot. And glory. Glory comes from him. Psalms 8:5 says he's crowned me with glory and honor. So I don't have to look for it from anybody else. I need to look for it from anybody else. I got it from the Lord. So therefore, I'm pulling up my roots out the world because I'm out there searching for validation and affirmation. Come over in the house of the Lord. I'm planting. I'm getting everything I need from the Lord. And so I learned how to be content no matter what situation I'm in. And remember, I told you last week, contentment and complacency are two different things. If I'm complacent, I'm chilling, I ain't doing nothing. You're not some fella, I'm good. No, you're not good. We have to move forward. And I love this. It says, the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Now, here's the thing. See, you got your definition of what is right, and God has his definition of what is right. And sometimes, and here's the thing, too, what's right for Elder Abraham might not be right for me. I need you to hear me. Can you stand up, Elder? You and Sister Melody, stand up for a second. Quitting, you stand up with Diamond, okay? Since y'all do the mother-daughter thing anyway. Okay, we're going to pretend this is your daughter right now. Now, God, I need you to hear me. God has a purpose for me, something that's right for me. He has something that's right for him. You understand? He has something that's right for her. What is right for you? I need you to see that. What is right for you? What is right and fitting for you? Where did he call you to? What did he call you to do? What is right for you? And see, here's the thing. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Because see, now go over there with the old Abraham. You trying to do just what he's doing, and that ain't right for you. And you praying, fasting, believing, touching, agree. You be in agreement with me. We're going to believe. We standing. I'm turning my plate over. I'm fasting. It ain't happening because that's not right for you. That's why it's being withheld. You keep trying to do things your way because you're so convinced that what in your decision or how you think what you're doing is right is based on what happened to you. And you're still letting that define your life. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Baptist. Baptists don't define me anymore. Yeah. Yeah. That might have worked for my daddy. Does that make sense? I got to find out what's right for me. And no good thing is going to withhold from me if I'm doing what's right. So all my needs will be met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's how that plays in. I need to be where he has for me to be. And there's no better place to be dwelling than in the house of the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. Last one. And I know we're over. Last one. Fresh and flourishing. Here's something. I turn to Acts 19:15. Turn to Acts 19:15. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. I got to get you to see this. I want to be fresh and flourishing. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. And when I show up, I'm telling you, atmosphere shift. I'm a solution to somebody's problem. I'm an answer to prayer. That's my mindset. You might say, that's cocky. No, it's not cocky because every blessing you're going to ever receive is going to come through the hands of somebody else. God is going to use me to be a blessing to somebody somewhere. Amen? Amen. Now, Acts 19:15, I want you to see something, okay? I want you to understand when I talk about showing up and you said, Pastor Tony, you think you're all like, no, I need you to see this. Here it is in Acts 19. So there was Apostle Paul, and the Bible tells us at the beginning of Acts 19, he was going through the coastline, all, and he comes to Ephesus, he's on his way. Now, there was this man named Sceva. He had 7 sons, and they were Jewish. They would go around casting out demons for money. You need a demon, cast out your daughter, give her some shillings, shekels, whatever they did, denarii, whatever, give me some money, and we'll cast the demon out. And they knew that it was a formula. It was a formula. A lot of you go on Facebook, just take these 3 steps. You read this book, these 4 steps, you will be rich. That's not even what he's called you to be. That's why it's not happening. Anyway, here's the deal. So they go up to this one guy and try to cast the demon out. But this is what the demon says. Watch this. It says, but one evil spirit retorted, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about. See, here's the thing when I say shift. And when I say I can have that attitude when I go somewhere and the whole environment shifts, is because how did that demon know about Paul? They hadn't ran into him yet. But see, the demons communicate. And here it is. They tell each other, hey, Paul is coming. 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 Paul is coming.
Paul is coming. What did the demon say when you showing up?
Oh, it's like, oh, let them come on, come on, come on. They're going to fall right for the old okie doke. They're going to slide right on in, just like always. Come on out.
Or it's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, Pastor Tony's showing up. Oh, my God. Okay, here I'm Pastor Tony. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. People crack me up. You know, them demons in Africa or something. And I say, and your point is? Because, see, I'm a big deal. I'm only 5'7", but I'm a big deal. I'm a big deal because I serve a big God. I'm a big deal because greater he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if he be for me, who can be against me? Oh, no, I'm going to Africa. I'm going to Brazil. And no demon, no. He won't stop me. He can't stop me because his angel is camped around about me. He is my rear guard. He's already gone before me to make crooked paths straight, hills and valleys made level. And it can be a desert, but I'm looking for that oasis. Yeah, yeah. It's about to show up. It might be dry right now, but in a moment, that's a valley of weeping. Some refreshing springs about to jump off. Yeah, yeah. Everywhere my foot treads upon, he's already given to me. Yeah. Don't have to be sad and sorrowful no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, no. Oh, no. Nothing in my life has caught God by surprise. And he always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I'm about to be victorious. An obstacle is nothing but that, an obstacle. Forget the obstacle. Think about my outcome. That's what I focus on. No, he has me. I'm standing in my lane, doing what I was created to do. And watch him, watch him, watch him. And I'm going to tell you something. Move away from that scarcity mentality. You think just because he's blessing somebody else that there's not enough for you. My God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Hasn't forgotten me. Never leave me nor forsake me. He's a God of suddenly. Suddenly something will open up. Suddenly something will break through. Suddenly somebody come up and just hook a brother up. It'll just happen suddenly. 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 So every day I wake up, this is the day that the Lord has made. People might say, oh, you got overlooked. Promotion comes from God. Your boss might be tripping. That's fine. Oh, boss ain't gonna limit me. You can't stop me. Do you know who I am? I'm a child of the Most High God. You say, he got a big attitude. That's not an attitude, baby. That's truth. I'm just speaking what it is. Oh, what's the racism in America? I'm bigger than racism. You can't stop me. You can't. You cannot. No one can. Except me. Except me. So according to your faith, be it unto you. How do you believe? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be well? Do you? Or do you just like the sympathy and attention? Do you like being sad and sorrowful? Sometimes we do. On the extreme, parents will kill, mothers will kill their kids just so they can get in the newspaper. And you say, you shake your head at that, but then we do it to some degree. Come to church, oh, he talked about Sister Wilkins passing. He said 2 weeks ago when my son was passing. And y'all still believe in that. Just believe in that. Every time I get a thought, I'm like, who told me that? My thoughts and my thinking are two different things. A thought comes into my mind, but I ain't got to think on it. Thought comes into my mind, I ain't thinking on that. See, we got this big immigration thing we're going on in America right now. But okay, here we go, here we go. Whatever side you're on, here we go. Take that same immigration thing and apply it to thoughts entering your mind illegally. Bow your heads, please. Amen. Bow your heads. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return unto you void, that it shall accomplish what you please, that it will prosper, dear Lord God, where you're sending it. And my prayer, Heavenly Father, is for our thought life.